Do you believe that 2023 has turned out to be one of the greatest years in video game history? The folks at Bethesda have a pre-written generic rebuttal ready if you don't. Welcome to the Night Before Christmas edition of the Thirsty Mage, or the December 17th edition if you're a member of the Patreon or subscribed through Spotify. I'm David Lloyd, and Santa has given us a monkey's paw of a Christmas miracle in the fact that he managed to schedule more than two members of the podcast for today's episode. Unfortunately, the monkey paw part is that he didn't figure out how to manipulate time zones for Paige, so unfortunately she can't be with us. And apparently hacked the alarm clock for Jordan. It's two again, and which is no problem because we've got Nintendo's latest gaming dad with us, Casey Gibson.
Yep, if I can manage to wake up with barely any sleep, I'm sure Jordan's got no excuses, you know.
Yeah, but he's got a little bit of the benefit of the doubt that he's 3 hours behind us. So.
Yeah,
But still,
7 o'clock isn't that early. Not like we asked him to get up at 2 a.m., you know, but no. That's all right. I'm going to be doing the lifting of two men today. So technically, right, it's almost like we got a third person here.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Luckily, you're the expert on the final games that we have for our Game of the Year episode. So yeah, just to recap a bit before we get into the topics of the epi. We basically, you know, in the past few weeks, we've been going over our top 10 for the podcast. We refuse to rank them just because we're trying to avoid the controversy.
And yeah, also, we're not looking to have a Thirsty Mage Civil War on our hands.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, there were so many amazing games this year that only naming a couple, I just feel like it was a disservice. So yeah, we really had to run the gambit. There was just too many games to play and so many that deserve our admiration and discussion. So
Jordan is awoken.
Yeah, Jordan is.
He'll be in a minute. I take it, but
yeah. Well, that's good because we have so many games, and the last four games of our list, I haven't played any of them. It's good. Casey was gonna like Hercules carry this episode on his back, but. We're gonna have Jordan joining us momentarily to help out, which is great. But I guess while we wait for
listen to me for 45 minutes, yeah. Which is a gift for everybody.
Yeah. Well, no, it would have been all right, but I would have been more concerned about your throat at the end. It might have been cracked and dry by the time we were done. But I guess what I'll do is I'll go through the list of the games that we've already talked about on the podcast so far in the past few weeks. Give Jordan some time to get ready here. So. Yeah, so the top games that we had for this year start with Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, Diablo 4, Tears of the Kingdom, Star Ocean Second Story R, and Octopath Traveler 2. So yeah, we said a little bit about each one the past three episodes, and we've got four more. We're going to be finishing up the final four games of our list on this episode today. But I guess while we wait for Jordan to come on, Casey, do you have any thoughts that you want to share on the six that we've done so far?
Yeah. So I played a little bit of Baldur's Gate 3. I think it was like 10 to 12 hours-ish, which if anyone knows, that's like 1% of the game. I did enjoy it. I feel like the CRPG, you know, that D&D kind of style. It's one of those things that it's like really intrigues me. And then I get in there and it just like, it doesn't click, or maybe I'm just too dumb. You know, I don't know. I'd like to go back at some point, but also the fact that it's such a dauntingly long game is one of those things that it's sort of tough to get into, but I know, I mean, I could appreciate and tell that it's got crazy good quality. And I know like you loved it, and I know a lot of people loved it. So and I'm pretty sure they've been working on patches because, like, I guess the latter half of the game gets a little, like, choppy. So I think they've been sort of consistently improving the game as well. Final Fantasy 16, I played and really enjoyed that game. For me, like, I don't think it has the firepower to actually be, like, if we were going to crown one, the game of the year. I think the story and visuals and everything are top-notch, second to none. But the gameplay itself gets a little repetitive. And it's not bad, you know what I mean? But I feel like it lacks that element to take it over the top. Like, if the gameplay matched how good the story and, you know, and everything was, like, it could be one of the best Final Fantasy games. But for me, it's just a very good game. Diablo 4, I enjoyed a lot. I played a lot. And it's weird because I think, you know, playing the game, you know, 0 to 50, which is sort of like, you know, the quote unquote, like, main game sort of takes you to that. And then afterwards, it gets a little bit more grindy. Big complaint is, like, the itemization and, like, and things are just not great. And it's one of those games, they're going to, like, even Diablo 3, if you go back and look at it, like, from when it launched to, you know, present day, it only got way better. And, like, you could arguably go back and say it's a really good game now, where in the beginning it was just, like, okay. I think Diablo 4 is going to see that same sort of fate, where it's, like, you know, with each passing season, it's going to get better and better. For instance, like, the first season or two, like, Resistance just, like, didn't work. So any gear that had plus resistance on it, it was just, like, a useless stat. And, like, that stinks because resistances are a big part of the game, right? Like, especially when you get into, like, oh, okay, like, this is a high fire area. Like, let me get fire resistance and I'm going to be able to survive way better. So, again, very good game. I think it's got, like, the potential to be really great. And I think it'll only get better. Tears of the Kingdom. Such a weird game for me because I love Zelda. I've played, you know, every 2D or, you know, I played every and beat every 3D Zelda game. I think there's a handful of, like, the 2D Zelda games I haven't beaten, like the Oracle games. Like, I played them but never finished them. But needless to say, huge Zelda fan. And Tears of the Kingdom is strange because whenever I play it, I'm like, oh, baby, this is amazing. Like, it's so much fun. You know, like the last time I went in there, I'm like, I'm just going to try and beat the final two dungeons and then try and polish the game off. And, like, I still found myself like, ooh, there's another shrine, you know, like, oh, like, let me go do this thing. That's not what I want to do to beat the game. But then when I'm not playing it, I just don't have that desire to play it. You know, it's really strange. Cause it's art, you know, it's a great game. It I don't know. It's something strange about it. And then these last two ones, Star Ocean and Octopath Traveler 2, I have not played either one. I'd like to, Octopath Traveler 2, especially, like, you know, the first one I'm notoriously not a fan of, but everyone and their brother says how good 2 is, and I know you're like, this is one of my top games sort of all time. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those games I do want to go play at some point, and at this point I'll probably wait for a nice sale or maybe pick it up used when I get into a spot where it makes sense that I've got some time to play. And same with Star Ocean. I've never really played a Star Ocean game. They've always sort of been, like, intriguing to me. I've just never gotten around to do it. So, you know, I don't, like, I'd play Octopath before Star Ocean, for sure. But one day I would like to maybe get into the old Star Ocean games.
Yeah, they for me, like, with Baldur's Gate 3, I started off playing on my Steam Deck, which was using the console style controllers that uses, like, the radial for choosing things. Mm-hmm. And I switched over to the computer and never went back because it's funny, like, with the CRPG, when you don't use the C, I feel like there's something that gets lost. Like, it doesn't quite feel as nice. Like, I guess some of the immersion is broken. Like, it's just not as smooth, like, especially with when you're in, like, a battle and you're, like, clicking through menus to get to moves and stuff, and it's just not as quick as, like, oh, just I hit the 3 key or hit the, you know, like, it's just,
yeah, it's not,
you're just bombing through it. Yeah. And then it's easier when you can just, like, well, just, you know, I want to attack this guy, I'll just click on him, you know, that it's just so many things. And then, like, when you're doing like attacks that are using, like, a area of attack and stuff, it's just, I don't know, like, I would say if you were going to play that and you had a PC that could run it, that's definitely the way to go. Yeah, for Final Fantasy,
my thought was, like, there's no way that, I mean, I've got a decent computer, you know, that could probably run it, but I was like, the PS5 is going to look better for sure. You know?
Yeah. Final Fantasy 16. I feel like you said, the acting, like, the voice acting was incredible. The spectacle of everything was incredible. Like, there were so many things. And yeah, like you said, the battle system is really the only thing that held it back from being like an all-timer for me. Because like you said, it just doesn't feel like you do get, there are improvements to, like, there's things that are added to your movesets as you go, but they're just not enough. Like, the battle system at the beginning of the game doesn't change enough by the end that it feels stale by the end. Which is too bad. I almost wish like they had gone with the Final Fantasy VII Remake battle system. And if they had, you wonder like,
I think it would have been way better.
Yeah. Like it's too bad. Cause it's almost like, man, it might've been up there with like Baldur's Gate 3 for Game of the Year contention if they had went with that system. Cause I just feel like it would have been like, you there are so many people that are like, oh, Final Fantasy should be turn-based. And it's like, well, if you get the remake, then you could play that way. But then it's also set up in a way that action people can enjoy it more too. So,
they're continuing to experiment with the mainline Final Fantasy games, like they've always done, right? Like they're still trying to do new things every single time. So you can see why, you know, maybe the battle system for 16 was like, oh, this is the big change we're gonna make here, right? Like we're gonna do something new with that. So they've always done that.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, I know. I knew we were playing with fire. Like it's the 7 a.m. Pacific when my bedtime is so messed up with I've been burning the midnight oil for like weeks now. But yes,
yeah, I know that.
We totally didn't throw you under the bus in the intro.
Oh, I hope so. I'm looking forward to it, and I deserve it. I knew when that alarm went off, and 5 minutes. Just give me 5 more minutes. Mm-hmm. I knew, and it's going to be another 30 minutes. Or so.
Well, that's why for me and my wife's just saying I sent like 18 alarms, like spaced out a couple minutes apart, because otherwise I'm not getting up.
I had this grand plan of like, oh, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to make breakfast for the kids so they don't bother me during the recording. I had to run downstairs, like throw some cereal in a bowl. Just like, you can watch YouTube. I said, don't. I'm doing a phone call. Watch
YouTube. Fortnite. Just leave me alone for an hour, please.
I'll make you a real breakfast after the podcast is done. But oh my gosh, yeah. No, it's good. But no, but yeah, just what I'm saying. Like 16. Like my copy literally just arrived in the mail yesterday. I'm looking forward to trying it out, and I think that experimentation is going to continue, right? Like. 17, yeah. 18, however many numbers they get up to,
being more like the foundation of what becomes a greater thing, you know? Like, we could look back to it, but, oh, yeah, 16, it was a little rough on the battle, or a little, you know, sort of plain Jane, and then, you know, but they've sort of built upon it and made it, you know, sort of really, really good, but, you know.
I think there is something to build there, like, because if they, to me... The skill tree and the leveling up was kind of broken. Like it was pointless. So mm-hmm. if they go back and they're like, okay, if we maybe hold back some of the different move sets or something, or make the leveling up or the progression better. Like, I think what they were trying to do was just take away the need to grind. But then by taking that away, like they went too far in the pendulum in the sense that it's like, oh, you're just going to level up quicker than you need to. And you don't have to really go in and choose anything. Like it's all kind of already pretty much there. Like
almost feels like they made this system and was like, okay, let's just slap levels on there. So it feels like a Final Fantasy game. Like,
yeah,
you can't have a Final Fantasy game without leveling up. Right. You know? So I feel like, yeah, if they had like, oh, you got skill points. And even if it was like a skill tree that wasn't super in depth, but it, you know, pick A or B, you know, what move do you want? And then that branch down to maybe a few different moves. And this one plays a little bit more tanky and slow. But this one is a little bit more like fast and elusive or whatever it might be, you know, just to give you more options and not feel like, yeah, like, oh, I leveled up. Oh, I got 2 points to each of my abilities across the board. Like, okay, you know.
I mean, we've played so many games these days where RPG mechanics are shoehorned in, right? They've been added to so many different games to try to, like, you know, make it seem like there's more to do, or, you know, that just that give that sense of progression that maybe it wasn't there before. Things like Assassin's Creed became very much an RPG. Even a game like Golf Story or Sports Story, like they've added RPG mechanics there, you know, obviously riffing on like the Mario Golf games, but so many different games have RPG mechanics. Roguelite and roguelite, rogue-like and light games having RPG mechanics. Maybe they reset, maybe they don't, but it's just something that's been added to so many different games, sports games too, you know, like the I don't know what they're, I can't remember what they're called in 2K and the NFL games, but where you're kind of improving your characters or leveling up your player that you invent.
Oh, like maybe, the fantasy rookie.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Right? Like where you're kind of building them up over a season or something like that, or multiple seasons. So many different games are doing that. So it's just funny to see a Final Fantasy game lose its way in terms of RPG mechanics, even though like you're one of the series that kind of originated them, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe with 17, we'll see like a hard swing back towards RPG mechanics. I don't know. I was going to say, I was reading on social media either yesterday or the day before something about one of the guys at Team Asano who worked on Octopath, something about them kind of stepping up production of games, like coming up with more games more regularly. And so
good.
Maybe you have people. No, exactly. But I think you have people at Square like recognizing again, or more so, that need for traditional RPGs, you know, turn-based combat, things like that. In response to things like FF16 or the positive response to games like Octopath and Triangle Strategy.
Well, I'm really hoping for Triangle Strategy too. So
oh god, yeah, let's go. That would be so good.
Yeah. Or
another one like, I need to get back to. That actually be a good baby game.
That's a really good baby game. Yeah, it's perfect. And they added new content in a patch. I still haven't even tried that. Like there's extra levels, I think, at the end at the end of the game or something like that. So
I might have to get back to it then because I'm kind of starting to miss it. I'm kind of hoping I want like a 2024 Triangle Strategy 2. Like hopefully it's like a new story, but I want them to keep like the mechanics and the kind of premise and maybe just build on it or something, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's like an epilogue or if it's like extra challenge missions or something like that, but I hadn't even filled out all the branching paths and kind of gotten all the different endings and stuff like that, so I'd love to go back. And that was a good reason too, that kind of just flew under the radar. I wish they'd played that up a little bit more, but yeah, good game.
Yeah. All right, well, we got 4 games left on our Game of the Year top 10. So we talked about the 6 that we've talked about in the previous 3 episodes, and unfortunately, I won't be contributing too much to the final 4 because I haven't played any of them, but I'm very curious to hear you guys talk about them. And why don't we start off with the game that both of you, I think, just recently finished, Super Mario RPG.
Ooh-wee. You want to start, Jordan, or you want me to jump in here?
I guess I should start or I'm going to fall back asleep again. So it's funny. Gacy's supposed to be the tired one, not me. But Super Mario RPG, just a kind of a delightful, but very light remake. There's not a ton that has changed. There's no like monumental changes to this game. If you've played the original, you're going to be very, very familiar with this one. They've kind of just tinkered with it a slight bit. The visuals and the music are probably the two things that have changed the most here. And even those are just very, very reminiscent of the original game as well. It's funny to see such a light hand be taken to a remake, I think, because I think there are a lot of other games where there's a feeling like, oh, we have to change everything. We have to make it for a new audience. The people who are going to play this game, they're completely different, you know. But this one feels almost more like an homage than just a kind of complete revamping of what was there before. This is the developers on this game. I think it's the Team Piazza or something like that.
Art Piazza,
yeah. So I want to say team because of Team Asano. Art Piazza, like they're not a team that has kind of been given the reins or given the keys to the kingdom yet. You know, they're ones that they've worked on remakes, like Dragon Quest games. Can't remember what else was in there, but they've been working with Square Enix for a while now. But not kind of doing their own thing necessarily. Like they have been just kind of making things look a little bit better, maybe play a little bit better. And that's what's happening here with their first kind of more Nintendo owned property, I suppose, as opposed to a wholly Square Enix one. But honestly, I kind of like that. I kind of, as someone who was very fond of the original game, I think the light-handedness of this one, the fact that it is a little bit more of a closer to a remaster than a remake of a game that's just beloved for me, a huge part of my childhood. I kind of dug that, and I know that people have had a problem with the length of the game. You know, it's not a long RPG. It's on the shorter end for sure. But in a sea of 30 to 40, 50 hour RPGs, having a solid kind of 8 to 12 hour one now and again, not a bad thing in my mind. Case, what are you thinking about this one?
Oh yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the original game was only, I think, about 15 hours, give or take. So they've done some things to make this quicker. I didn't personally, I hadn't played the original in a hot minute, but I know Neil plays, I think, almost like annually.
Yeah,
so he had mentioned that
one of his favorites.
Just getting in and out of battles was quicker, you know, like the load times and everything. So like that right there is going to cut down, you know, that a little bit over the course of the entire game, right? You're doing quite a few battles. So even if you're saving, you know, 5 seconds or even a couple seconds each battle, you know, that's going to add up. And then they've added a few things like the AOE damage, right? So if you get like a perfect hit with not every weapon, but a lot of weapons, if you get like a perfect timed hit, it'll sort of hit your main enemy and then do a little splash damage to the other enemies, you know, so that that increases, right? Just more damage going out. And then, of course, the triple attacks, which are brand new. You fill up your gauge, and then you can unleash sort of like a big heavy duty. And it's not always an attack. Sometimes it's like a big defensive cooldown, depending on who's in your party. So little things like that are going to sort of make it a more brisk adventure. But to me, I think it took, give or take, around 10-ish hours, maybe 10 to 11. You know, there were times where I left the game on pause to just sort of chill because I had something to do, and then also it's just really good music, so I was like, I'm not even gonna go to the home menu. And actually I played with the SNES controller.
That's a good call. I didn't even think about that.
Well, it's funny, the last two games I've played, because my pro controller sucks, it drifts so hard, so Wonder and RPG I've been playing with the SNES controller, unironically the best Switch controller there is.
That's right.
So it's a quick thing, but like to me it was good because you never overstay your welcome in any one area, you know, like it's, you're not like, oh man, like I just want to get out of this spot. And I'd say early on you sort of blast through different areas, like you get like 4 or 5 stars pretty darn quick, it feels like, or maybe 4 stars, and then like the 5th and 6th one are a little more in depth, like when you get to the sunken ship and everything, like that one takes a little bit more time. And that's actually my favorite part of the game. But I mean, I loved it. I think when you have a game that's so loved for, and like the original, right, you can go back and play the original right now, and like there, it's not like you're like, oh, this feels dated, really.
No, not at all. It holds up super well, and I think that's why they didn't do very much to this. Like they didn't need to do a lot to kind of make this like a 2023 playable game. Like the original is still very fun to go back to.
Yeah, they just, like you said, they just beautified it, right? Yeah. And like, and honestly, even the pixel art was still great, but like, I like this, I call it like the old cutesy-wootsy art style, like Link to the Past. Almost,
yeah, that kind
you know?
Of, almost, not like claymation, but like it has that kind of look to it, that kind of smoothness to it.
Yeah, no, I think, like you said, it's not clay, but that is like a good description of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, why mess with perfection, right? Like, it's such a good game, but they're just making it more, you know, visually appealing. The music is really good, and you can switch back to the original music through any time. Maybe not in battle, but like if you're not in battle, you press start, go to the settings, change the music, boom, and you're right back to the classic.
And you know, I thought I would. I thought I was like, oh, you know, I'm a purist. Like I like the original stuff. I like my '90s things. You know, I'm, you know, to heck with, you know, things from 2023 in comparison, like feeling like an old man shaking a fist at the cloud here. No.
At the Mallow?
I think, yeah, exactly. I actually used Mallow a lot more, and Gino. Gino is so good. I love having him in
Gino
the party.
Never left my party unless if, like, it was one of those, he, like, fell asleep and I had to switch out a character or something. You know?
I love his moves that hit all the enemies, like the Gino Blast and the...
the last one with the little smiley face?
Yeah, it's so cute. It's so devastating. Like, it's, but no, I love him. But I ended up leaving the remixed music on the whole time. I think it's really, really good, actually. I think, subtle changes to the soundtrack, but I think they're all good. Like, I can't think of one song where the original much more.
Yeah, I switched it, like, right in the beginning, just because I was messing, like, seeing what was, you know, what we could do. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I kept the new ones on as well, because I think maybe the only song I was like, oh, I definitely like the original better, is the Forest.
Forest Maze, yeah.
Yeah, which to me is one of, if not my favorite songs in video game history.
It's so iconic a sound, a track from the original game, that it would be very hard to, like, replace it with anything and think, oh, I like this one better. Like, but I think it's an interesting version of it for sure. Like, it adds some, that there's like a little bit more depth to it or something like that, as opposed to the repetition.
Do you remember the YTMD or YTMND, the You the Man Now Dog things back in the day?
It's 7:30 in the morning. Like, I can't tell you, but maybe.
It's one of those things. It was like pretty much like a gift. Hold on. I'm gonna link it to you guys.
Yeah, you got to show me. It's probably something I've seen before. I can't draw it up.
It's one of those things. Yeah, it was like a definitely a thing of like the 90s, yeah, early 2000s internet. But like, there's like a song with that, like Forest Maze, and like I hear that song all the time.
Oh, I love that. But, this is just a soundtrack that I go back to constantly. Like, if I find it somewhere, or it's like shared in like group chats that I'm in, versions of this soundtrack that are done, because it's such a timeless one for sure.
Yeah. And then I for me, like I said, yeah, like honestly, a 10-hour game, like, sure, I guess you could argue, right? I know people sort of argue the price point of like, oh, you know, what's that, $6 an hour, you know, blah, 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 blah. But to me, it sometimes, you know, and I think that is valid. I think it's, you know, games are expensive, right? You want to be able to, you know, make sure you get your money's worth. But to me, each one of these hours was beaming with enjoyment. Like, there's not a lot of downtime. You're going to place to place. And it was just, you know, pure enjoyment. Like, I loved every second.
You
just
blast through it. Especially if you've played this game before, it's so easy to finish it quickly. There's effectively no grinding until. Can we talk about the post game? Like, I don't know if you've done any of the post game.
Yeah, yet. I went. I don't know how spoilery /.
It's a pretty old game.
Yeah. I mean, this is the new
it's
part.
It's not even a month
added,
old,
right?
David.
Oh, okay. So it's not from the original.
Yeah.
No, it is. Oh, well, the one
not
I'm
all
thinking
of it. No.
Yeah.
I
cared about isn't.
That's right. Exactly. I think we should do a little bit. Like, I mean, obviously, people know Culex from the original game. You're taking the shiny stone into Monstro Town, and then there's a secret boss fight there. They kind of up the ante after the credits roll, where the old bosses that you've encountered throughout the game, about 7 or 8 of them, you can go and fight them again. But they're a lot harder, and they have like a kind of a specific strategy generally that you have to follow to beat them. I thought it was a really charming way to add like an extra hour or two to the length. It's not a lot of extra story necessarily. There's a couple beats, but it's mostly just like, okay, figure out, you know, what is the new thing you need to do to take on this boss? What kind of new attacks are they throwing at you, or what kind of new situation are they putting you in? The one-on-one duel with Johnny, I thought was really good. Even the fight with kind of Punchinello, where you can't attack him because he's too strong, his defense is too strong. You have to attack the bombs around him to turn them around so they go and attack, so the bombs go and explode on him. The boss fights were very clever there, and I really appreciated like the simplicity of the base game, and then the way that the post game kind of ups the ante and makes it a little bit more, makes all those fights more difficult.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't go back and do those. Like, mine was like, yeah, I wanted to go back and do the Final Fantasy boss, right? Like,
you got to do Culex, yeah.
Yeah, so I went back and, you know, I got the lazy shell, right? I believe that's like the super OP item. And then, yeah, I went and I fought him. And to me, that was it. I was like, you know what? I'm good. Like, I wanted to fight and kill him, and now I could put a bow on the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it was like with that with that thing, I think it was, yeah, like 12 hours total, give or take around there. But yeah, to me, it was perfect. You know, it's like, it's a game that was already really great, and like they didn't need to change too much. Mm-hmm. I guess like the two, well, their quote unquote complaints, right, would be sometimes you get like a little stuttering when you're in towns.
Yeah.
Sort of like that Link to the Past, but to me, it didn't seem as bad as Link to the Past. Like very minimal, like, oh, it's just like, isn't running super de duper smooth sometimes. Mm-hmm. But again, not like a huge thing. And then the only thing I guess you could say didn't really necessarily age well is some of the platforming spots are, you know, to me, it was never really that bad, you know, and it's good because if you like fall and mess it up, like you pretty the game starts you right back there. It's not like you're like losing, you know, oh, I got to now go back and redo 5 minutes of stuff to get back here. It was very much like, oh, you failed. Oh, they start you right back where you fell off, or like right, mm-hmm. you know, 2 steps away. So it was never really that bad, but I could see some people having trouble with the, you know, sort of some of the platforming just because like the perspective and stuff. But,
and that was the big, one of the biggest complaints about the original game is the platforming is not great, right? Like trying to shoehorn platforming into an RPG was going to be tricky, especially in the 90s before, you know, a lot more people had kind of experimented with that. And you had like all the Mario and Luigi games stuff come out where they did the platforming better.
Yeah.
I do want to, before we're going to move on to the next game, I do want to encourage you, Casey, and anyone who hasn't gone through all the post-game bosses, there's a second fight with Culex. I think it's worth doing the boss fight, the boss refights, just to get to that second Culex fight.
Mm. Okay. So yeah, I've been sort of right now putzing around, deciding what game to play next on the Switch. Or
yeah, if you're still in that limbo state, I'd say spend the extra hour, go through those post-game fights. They're quite fun. Like I think it was one of my highlights of revisiting the game for sure.
Sweet. David, now you haven't talked in a minute. Is this enticing you to play this at all? Did you, I forget, you didn't play the original?
Or you? No, I've played the original. I wouldn't say, like, I'm not, the time-based stuff is always throwing me off. Like, I'm not really a time-based RPG fan, so it's not, like, too high on my list of top RPGs. And I didn't play it, like, back in the day, so there's no I don't have a nostalgia factor for it either. Like it was a couple years ago. I think I played it for the first time. So it was like, nah, gotcha. It's fine. I mean, I might pick it up eventually. Or
we're all entitled to our bad opinions. It's okay.
Yeah. That's right.
I almost wish like your first experience was with this remake actually. If you hadn't played it in the 90s, because like it is a lot more kind of streamlined with the way the combat works. And there's even more cues for the timed attacks and defenses now, like just they make it easier to figure out how each weapon works. Basically, if you haven't built up your combo meter, a little cue comes up, right? For you, right? It tells you kind of when you need to hit the button to time it perfectly. So it is a for those kind of new to the game, they kind of integrate people or get them into it a little bit more smoothly.
Yeah, might have. I haven't put it on my Christmas list yet, but maybe this might be the night before Christmas episode, but we're recording well in advance, so
that's right. Yeah.
There's still time to add it.
Still time.
It might be one to, you know, obviously it's a Nintendo game, so it's not going to go on sale.
No.
or if it does, it's not going to be cheap, but you know, maybe you keep an eye on eBay or something. Maybe you find a used copy for, you know, not a crazy price or something.
I could see this one go on sale because there are certain Nintendo games that, you know, not the ones that sell like 10 million plus, like, but the ones that sell like 3 to 5 million, like Link's Awakening, like that remake, like that does go on sale quite a bit. So I could see this one hit like, you know, $40 or $50, at some point next year for sure.
Yeah, I might watch
it
for
sells well, so we get more Paper Mario in the future.
Yeah. I might like there might. It'd be nice if there's like a 25% off Boxing Day sale or something on a few of the Nintendo games. Like you said, the sub 5 mil ones. So maybe.
Yeah.
Might be too early though. At the same time.
Yeah, probably a little early for this one. But maybe sometime next year, even before the Thousand Year Door remake comes out.
Or it's like a summer sale or something, yeah.
Hmm. Oh, I can't wait for Thousand Year Door.
I might give it another try. Like, I haven't beaten it before, but in that when we did the Dirty Mage kind of replay of the game, I didn't end up going all the way through it that second time. So I may do it with this one. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm curious if they'll do, like, if it's going to just be a straight port, more or less, you know, or up res or whatever you want to call it, or if it is going to be something where maybe they add some new stuff.
I think it's going to be just like this, actually. I think it's going to be just like this.
But I would say, I would argue, you know, the things they, like the triple attack and the gate, like, those are, you know, not game changing, but they definitely mess with the flow of the normal game. So it'd be interesting if
they're nice like that. Yeah, I like them. I like those. I like the little additions they made here. No problem with them. I think they make a really good
game. And the visuals for all the triple attacks were so good.
Yes, they're really good. Yeah. Any of the little cutscenes that were added to the game, the kind of the slightly animated ones. I love the way the characters look in them. Like, they're so kind of, they look like kind of stuffed animals almost, like kind of plushies. And I love the kind of marshmallowy texture of them. It's another highlight for sure. All right, David, cool. Get us back on track here.
Yep. Well, yeah, we got to keep the train rolling here. We've got the final, I guess we got three games left that we haven't announced, two of which we've actually done full episodes on, so we don't have to get into those too much.
We can go through them a little quicker, yeah.
Yeah, so Super Mario Wonder, which we had an episode on just like two or three episodes ago, that's on our list.
Real quick, before we talk about anything else, when Jordan and I talked about Wonder, I had mentioned that was my favorite 2D Mario of all time.
Yeah.
And as we marinated a few weeks here, World is better.
Yep.
I got to get on the record. Now, get me wrong. Wonder is still an incredible game, but I think World, like, thinking back on it now a little bit more removed, I think World's still the top.
Recency bias wore off.
Yeah. Like I said, it's still awesome. Don't get me wrong. Wonder is really good, but, like, World is still it, you know?
I could see in the years to come, when various, you know, replays happen and a new 3D Mario game is on the horizon with the whatever the second Switch ends up, and the next Switch ends up being, I could see like Wonder kind of moving in and out of the top, not in and out of the top three or four. Like, I think it'll still be there, but like its position, I think, is fluid. I guess I don't know that it'll retake the top spot from World. But you know, whether it's better than 3 or any of the new Super Mario games or whatever, I think that's definitely possible. Wonder is a game I've been thinking about a lot lately because I've been listening to some of the music and seeing some people talk about the game on social media as well. Maybe getting to it later, or maybe jumping back into the game. It is a fantastic 2D Mario game, and it can't be overstated that like. There are a lot of 2D Mario games kind of that exist, and the fact that we hadn't had one in a long time that was such a breath of fresh air, kind of, I think, did really propel this one to critical stardom in 2023 and going to be a part of a lot of Game of the Year lists. We'll see if it has the kind of staying power over years to be a game that people are fond of. I think it's kind of wackiness, its inventiveness, I think, is always going to be a huge part of it. But whether they kind of build on it for the next one or do another kind of maybe a more traditional 2D Mario game with the sequel or follow-up remains to be seen. I think the next game after Wonder is going to tell us more about how we feel about Wonder. That is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, is it a one and done, or is it going to be... Yeah, are we going to get something else in that, like, continuing the Wonder weirdness.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it, is waiting to see what's next and then how do they build off of Wonder? Was it a springboard or more of a departure and something they're not going to necessarily revisit? We'll see.
I guess we'll find out in a decade or so.
Yeah, gosh, I really hope it's not that long. I mean, I guess they had the Mario Maker thing in the middle, which kind of made them think they could have more time. You know, but I think seeing the critical and hopefully commercial reception of Wonder will encourage them. Like, hey, there's still a lot of life left in 2D Mario games. Like, let's not, you know, take 6, 7, 8 years to make the next one. I think we won't be waiting that long on the next platform.
Oh, it shouldn't. It's like, it's a 2D game. Like, it shouldn't take as long as a 3D one. So you'd think they'd be able to get one every couple of years at the very least. But
you could see the idea of maybe spending more of your resources and time for the 3D games that just seem to sell better, right? Like that's something that's a smart business decision. And you recognizing you have a 2D Mario audience and you have like a successful movie franchise of Mario games that are, and those people are going to want to play the 2D games as well. All of that seems to be coming full circle with them, or is something that's maybe going hand in hand, like whatever the second Mario movie, maybe you do a 2D game the same year and that becomes your cadence or something like that. I can see that happening.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting if we see a new 2D Zelda game anytime soon. Because it's been a while, right? 2013 was Link Between Worlds.
And, I mean, that's arguable. It's not it wasn't necessarily a new game. It was kind of piggybacking off an existing.
Yeah, a lot of reference material was used.
Yeah.
And I love that game. Like, as much as it kind of... Pace homage is no, it's like, it feels like a sequel. It feels like a sequel in the same world, almost like Tears does to Breath of the Wild. So does Link Between Worlds to Link to the Past. Both excellent 2D games, and I would love to see another one as well. But is it going to be like a Zelda Wonder? Are they going to take the train off the rail? They take this off the spirit tracks here and see what comes up? You know, like I almost want them to experiment with the 2D game again. I love top-down Zeldas, and I'd love to see another one. I think the 3D ones are almost just too daunting for me at this point in my life. I want another tight, 8-hour 2D Zelda game. I would love to have another one of those in the near future.
Yeah. I really hope that the 3D ones go back to the old formula, if you will. You know what I mean? I want a more linear...
Yeah.
Or... however many really well thought out dungeons with clever puzzles, maybe, revolving around an item or two. Like, give me the old game.
I think Ocarina, it's going to be hard for them to go back.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for them to go back after the success. Again, the Metacritic scores, the number of copies sold of Breath of the Wild. These are staggering numbers for the Zelda series. I mean, they're not a stranger to, 90 plus Metacritic scores, but the kind of attach rate with the Switch and how many people have bought this game or bought into this new Zelda type of game, it's going to be hard for them to move away from that, I think. But we'll see. The way they move away from it might be the 2D games, their existence, and maybe playing around a little bit with them a little bit more.
One game I'm quite confident we're not going to see a sequel of in my lifetime is Pikmin 4.
I hope that's not true.
Would you look at how long? What was it like? 13? Was it?
Well, I don't even know how many years Wii U. I think it was 2014, maybe.
Let's see. I'm
Wii U was right Wii U was 2013. So I just don't know where in that lifespan Pikmin 3, the original, game out.
All right, so Pikmin.
Oh, it was 2013. Oh my gosh, it was the same year the Wii U came out, or
so almost a decade. Yeah.
I think it's decade, more. Yeah. I think it's more just the fact that it was supposedly made so long ago and took
Miyamoto pretty sure said yeah.
Yeah, it's already done. Like 5 years ago, he was like, "Yeah, we're pretty much done. We're pretty much done." And
that was so weird. It was just an odd, and maybe it was. Chalk it up to like a translation mistake or something was lost in the translation of what he was saying. But and then you had the Hey Pikmin game on 3DS, which kind of complicated that whole conversation a little bit as well.
Is that what he was talking about? Yeah. So it was 2001, then 2004, then 2013, and then 2023.
So crazy amount of time between 2 and 3, and then 3 and 4, right? Like almost 20 years between 2 and 4, which is that's crazy to think, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I tell you what, it might have been a long wait, but boy, was it worth it.
100%. Yeah.
So we got a full episode on that one. That was a while ago, because I guess we had it when it first came out. So, anyone looking for some detailed convo on that one can head back to that episode. But the final
Pikmin 4, play it, everybody.
Quick plug for Pikmin 4, please. Seriously. Play that game, it's fantastic, even if you've never played the earlier games, and now that they're all available on Switch, there's no excuse to not try Pikmin of some form. My son is playing 3, like he's playing a ton.
Really, really good too.
Yeah, the mission mode is awesome, like co-op, like the co-op's kind of lacking Pikmin 4, so if you want to play with a partner, I'd say get Pikmin 3, or at least start there. But yeah, Pikmin 4 is wonderful. Please play that game. Pick up the demo if you haven't already.
3 has one of the most visually satisfying things of all time, when those fruits get blended and then go into the little containers.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like, I don't know what it is, but like...
Even the drinking sound, like them kind of slugging down the juice, the daily juice.
Oh, so good, really good, dude. Yeah. But seriously, 4 is... I mean, I don't want to tip my hand here for my personal game of the year, but let's just say it's the leader in the clubhouse. Yeah. I need to really think about it, but right now, yeah.
It's top 3 for me, top 5 for sure. Like, I adore that game, yeah. And I basically completed it, so...
So the final game on our top 10 of 2023 is a Casey pick, and I'm sure it's a pick of a lot of people out there. Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Ooh-wee! Yes, this is really... I was talking to David before while we're waiting for Jordan to wake
Thank
up.
You. Thank you.
We were... It's... I rarely ever go back and play DLC, right? I mean, like, there are examples, you know, Mario Kart 8, you know, like, I Deluxe, I'll go back and play some of those games and stuff. But usually, like, any bit of DLC that comes out, especially, like, a while after, like, it's like, oh, yeah, that, like, I really enjoyed that game, but, like, I've moved on, right? But I went back and played the Separate Ways DLC with Ada, and it was so good. Like, that's a really good price value. It's, like, $10 for, like, 5 hours or more of game. Like, I forgot how long it took, but it's, you get a sizable chunk of gameplay for a pretty good price. But the base game's amazing, right? Like, I think Capcom is, they do such a good job with these remakes, not only right, making them visually look amazing, but like, you know, adding some changes and doing things a little differently so that even if, you know, you know the original source game, you know, back to front, there's enough there that's going to be changed up, that's going to make it fresh. And then, you know, it's got wonderful tone. I mean, you could go back and play the original Resident Evil 4, and it's still very good. And I think it, you know, stands up. They've got, you know, you've got the Wii version with the pointer, like, aiming, which is cool. You know, you've got all sorts of cool, you know, versions of the game that you could still play today. But this one, super de-duper good. And then they just announced the launch date for the VR version, full game in VR, which if you're when you're listening to this, it's already out. So I'm like, Resident Evil 4 is going to get me to play it 3 times in 1 year. You know, the original game, the DLC, and then I'm going to go back and play it in VR. So, man, so good.
I'm awesome. Like, I'm really excited to play this game. I am going to, it's going to be on, it's already on sale, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be even more of a discount early next year. I definitely want to play this game through, you know, Resident Evil 4, one of my timeless games. I talk about it in Game in the Life. Like, it's one of those ones I hold in such high esteem. And I think that's maybe something that has scared me about replaying it. You know, I recently replayed it for the book. And now that this kind of really awesome remake has come out, like, is it going to taint my opinion of the original game? Like, they've done such a good job remaking these Resident Evil games and kind of, you know, upping the horror and making the gameplay really smooth and all that stuff. Like, I am a little bit trepidatious about going to this remake and, like, it having an impact on how I feel about the original game. I don't know if that's silly or something like that, but I do want to play it at some point. It sounds awesome.
I would say don't let that hold you back. Remember, like, I think I used to be more right when I think, especially when the rumors of Final Fantasy VII, right? It's like, no, I want a turn-based game and I want it to be the same exact thing. I think I've walked my stance back on this. It's like the original game is always going to be there and it's going to be in its original form and it's going to be just as good as you remembered it. And then the new version, like, let them take some liberties, right, to change things up and make it a little different. And I think they coexist really well. I mean, I haven't gone back and played the original since the remake, but, like, I have no doubt, like you could go do that and it's not going to be like, oh, you know, like,
yeah,
this game
it's still going to hold up.
Because, like I said, I feel like they do enough to change things around where it's like, it's not where we were talking about Mario RPG, right, where it's like, sure, I mean, you could probably argue which one do you want to play. It's like, well, the new version's probably the ultimate version, right? It's just a little more snappy and gets in and out and quicker. But, like, I think they do enough to change things around where both games are going to be viable to play in the future.
Yeah, it is funny. It's the first time, I guess, since the book has been written and now come out where one of the games in it has been like remade. I've just kind of avoided it, I guess, for that kind of, maybe that's part of the reason or something like that. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it. I think they've been just hitting it out of the park with these remakes, and I'm sure they'll continue to do so. It'll be interesting to see what the next one is, whether that's 5 or you know, maybe they'll go back to something like Code Veronica or Zero or something like that. It would be neat.
It honestly, like, I know Resident Evil, like the original or the remake, if you will, for GameCube is so darn good.
Yeah,
it would be interesting to see them remake that with, like, not the stationary, you know, camera angles.
Yeah,
but I think Code Veronica would be really good because if yeah, I don't know how much of the history you guys know, but essentially Code Veronica was supposed to be Resident Evil 3. And Resident Evil 3 was supposed to be the spinoff, hence, like, oh, Nemesis is just chasing you down. But then I guess with the exclusivity deals and Sony, like, they had to have the numbered versions, so they slapped 3 Nemesis, so they did. And then Code Veronica, I believe, is supposed to be more like a, like, supposed to be 3, you know? And I've never played that one, so I would love that to be remade, but it's probably just going to be 5.
Yeah, I've never played it either, and the funny thing about 5 is 5 is, it's not a black sheep in the franchise, but I think it was a departure, right? Like, it was so heavy on the action, right? It kind of took
co-op too.
Yeah, and the co-op too. What an interesting game. So yeah, it'll be. I think they've specifically said we're not getting a new one next year, if I'm not mistaken. So Resident Evil is probably going to might be taking a year off, which makes sense. I think that you want to.
They've been pumping them out.
You don't want to. Yeah, you don't want. I think Capcom's got other games they want to come out next year. Dragon's Dogma 2 being one of them.
And maybe they're just shifting focus on, because now that the Ethan Winters story has come to a close with 8, it'll be interesting to see what the heck 9's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they take a year off with the remakes and then hit us hard in 2025 with 9 and a remake of 5 or Code Veronica, and just have a big Resident Evil kind of celebration type year. That'd be cool.
They've been doing such a good job. Yeah, if we got to wait a year to 2 years, like, I'm confident that it's going to come out and just be a banger.
Yeah, for sure. Like, what's funny is, like, these Resident Evil remakes, like, I appreciate them. I think they're really good. The little that I've played, I really enjoyed. I just haven't really been in the mood for that a horror type game. But knowing that they're there, like, going back to 2, 3, and now 4 at some point, like, I'm looking forward to that. It's like it's not in my backlog per se, because I haven't necessarily picked the games up, but it's on my mind. It's in the back of my mind that I want to play all these games through at some point.
Yeah, well, that brings us. I guess I'll recap the final 10 list that we have. And then maybe we'll wrap up the episode with a few honorable mentions for each of us. But yeah, the official list: Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, Diablo 4, Tears of the Kingdom, Star Ocean Second Story R, Octopath Traveler 2, Super Mario RPG, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Super Mario Wonder, and Pikmin 4. I think, like, that's an incredible list for 1 year.
Really,
like,
solid.
It's ridiculous.
With 2017, right? Like, it's been a crazy year.
I think, like, in the years to come, this is going to be one of those years where people are going to look back and be like, remember how crazy 2023 was? Like,
I believe it. Yeah.
I mean, it's gonna be pretty wild. I think you'll see, you know, we're going to do some honorable mentions to wrap up here. And I think that you'll see, like, it's painful to leave games off of that top 10, because there are other fantastic games that we just either didn't get to, or there was maybe among the people of the Thursday Mage, there wasn't the same affinity for some of these games. But yeah, just an incredible year for games. Another one. You always feel like, okay, the next year is going to be a letdown because this one was so strong, but 2024 could be really, really good if we get a new console, right? If the second Switch number 2 does come out, the Super Switch, whatever, if that comes out, we already know, you know, the Yakuza Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth's coming out in January.
Rebirth
could be really good.
Rebirth in February.
Oh my god! Like,
there Metaphors next year.
Really fantastic games, right? That's the Persona looking one, right?
Yeah. SMT. So like, yeah. Square has a huge game coming out. Atlas has a huge game coming out. Sega has a huge game coming out.
And if Nintendo's releasing the Switch, let's say,
so Nintendo's going to have stuff. Probably a new
Mario Kart 9.
Mario Kart 9. Yeah.
What? No. Mario Kart 8 Super Deluxe.
Yeah. Ultra Deluxe. Yeah.
Ultra.
Imagine they just re-release all their Switch games, like the deluxe versions.
Super Mario Kart Wonder, where you're like halfway through the stage, it just completely changed into something else.
You transformed, yeah.
Yeah.
Until we find out Switch 2 is not backwards compatible, and then that'll be the apocalypse where all the Nintendo fans around the world burn the world down.
They burn it down, and then they begrudgingly buy every single Switch game.
They still buy it, yeah. They get mad for like a minute, and they're like, oh, but look how good these games are.
Look, it's Tears of the Kingdom HD 4K.
Yeah. 2D HD.
Yeah. Oh, that would actually be sweet.
That'd be really cool, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess to get into some honorable mentions, so I'll start with mine. So Paranorma Sight was quite a huge surprise to me because, like, you know, it's not often that you see Square Enix come out with a visual novel. So that was a pretty, it's, I would call it a kind of like a, it's a visual novel, but it's like a sci-fi mystery game, I guess, to a certain degree. So that was very, very, very fun. Thirsty Suitors, which we just had the previous episode, it was an interview with the developer. Terrific game. Game Pass, it's on Game Pass if anyone wants to play that one, but it's kind of, I guess it would be like a Yakuza, Persona, Super Mario RPG inspired game. And again, a solid 8 to 10 hours. Really, really terrific game. In Stars and Time, it's with a kind of an RPG that we'll be talking about. We have an interview with the developer coming up. We'll also be doing an episode on it after that, I guess, at some point. But yeah, this was kind of like the, I saw someone call it the artsy death loop, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's good.
I enjoyed that. It's kind of like an RPG, almost kind of like an Undertale, but it's in the sense of where you're replaying the same day over and over again. And I think it's really well done. And then the last one for me, kind of looking at my high scores for the year, would be Crisis Core Reunion. I just think they did an amazing job remaking that that game. It has its blemishes, but I think overall it was a fun experience. So those would be the four that I would add to the already incredible list of 2023 games that are worth playing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I've got two I want to throw on the list. One is Trails into Reverie. Again, an easy game to forget, given that there's a big lag between when that game came out in Japan, I think, and when we finally got it. And you know, that happens with Falcon games. We're kind of used to that. But it flew under the radar. I think it was a summer release as well. I gave it like an 8.5 when I reviewed it. I think it's fantastic. I wish I'd had more time in 2023 to get into that game a little bit more. There's a lot of kind of extra kind of content and battles you can get into, but just didn't have time. So I do think I liked it more than I expected to. And it's funny to say that about a Trails game, but I think it is a really good one. It's kind of a celebration of the games that came before, especially the Cold Steel games. Sea of Stars, I have to mention here, obviously, you know, it's only my second 10 out of 10 given. I've been listening to, they literally just put the soundtrack on Spotify and probably some other places as well. And just this, the music is a really easy way to kind of be reminded of an experience, right? And so listening to the soundtrack again, just kind of remembering the moments associated with the different tracks, you know, it's a massive soundtrack. Has been a really kind of nice way to spend the last 48 hours. I've been really getting into it, listening to it in the car and stuff like that. But Sea of Stars is excellent, you know. It's a little bit more maybe on the simple side in terms of progression and combat and stuff like that, but I like the way that it kind of tells a heartwarming story. There's a lot of emotion to it. And it's deceptively not long, but it has there's a lot to it. There's after your first roll credits, and then you kind of get into the post game a little bit more. There's actually a lot of meat on that bone. So yeah, CSR is excellent. Really enjoyed it. One of my highlights, and it might be my game of the year this year still, after kind of going back and thinking about it again.
Mm. Sweet. Yeah, I guess for me, some of my honorable mentions are specifically VR games, PSVR games, which is weird because like most of them have been out, you know, but like the VR versions obviously are new as the system just came out this year. Gran Turismo 7 is insane. The full game in VR, you could go all the tracks, all the different cars, and just really cool sort of change. I mean, I always like racing games, but definitely changes it up to a level that just, you know, you can't get with a standard just on the TV. And I haven't even played with like a wheel and pedals, which I can only imagine makes it even far cooler. Then like Resident Evil 8 on VR is pretty insane as well. Just to, again, be able to play the entire game in VR is really cool. And that's why I'm so excited for Resident Evil 4 VR. And I really, really wish they'd port, because Resident Evil 7 is VR for PSVR 1, but they haven't, you know, brought it over. And honestly, that game is far scarier than most other Resident Evil games. So I would really like to experience that one. But yeah, just honestly, a lot of different VR games, like the walk around golf, and just to me, you know, a lot of these games have been out for a minute, so it's hard to put them in, you know, a true game of the year. But for me, just the year of the VR is sort of getting the honorable mentions for me.
It's definitely, like, I've been seeing a lot of VR stuff lately. Like, VR has always been, like, one of those, like, so close but not quite things. Whether it's, like, the hardware or the cost or not enough support for developing. But it's always, like, on the cusp of, like, oh, it could be a thing. It could be a thing. And it's getting closer, it seems.
Yeah, and David was nice enough to give me a little PSN card. So I picked up Horizon Call of the Mountain, and I've only gotten to play like an hour or so of it. You know, putting a VR helmet with the baby is a little tough, but squeezing the time in when I can, and it is absolutely breathtaking, dude. Like, the scale, and just it's like, honestly, yeah, it's like crazy. I should have set a camera on my face. I was probably just look like a big dumb idiot with my mouth open, like, whoa. But yeah, I'm really enjoying that too. So I, you know, you look at the VR PSVR 2 catalog, and it's got a lot of bangers, and really, like, the main thing they need is more, like, more Sony developed, like Horizon, more games like that. But luckily Capcom's like, yo, hold my beer, I got this with all the Resident Evil games. So
yeah.
Yeah, Capcom's really embraced it, actually. And I think they're doing a good job, certainly kind of making people maybe pay a little bit more attention to VR, like seeing like big name, like Resident Evil is a big name franchise, right? Like seeing that kind of participating in the VR sphere, like to a pretty high degree. Like, I think that's making people take notice of it, I think. But I guess
from what I understand, Sony's sort of bankrolling them. To some extent. So
sure, that makes sense.
Like, yeah. Horror style games seem like a perfect fit for VR.
Yeah, I mean, you need someone to put the money there, right? You can't just expect like developers and smaller teams to be footing the bill, right? Because they're not necessarily going to make that money back, or at least it's going to take them a while to do so. So yeah, you need kind of big publishers to come in and say, hey, like we're going to, you know, pick up this platform. We're going to support it. We're going to, you know, make sure that people are picking up VR headsets and playing really good games on them. So it did feel like we saw VR a little bit more in the news this year than maybe some past years. But maybe that's a symptom of 2023 just being filled with good games. There were also going to be inevitably good VR games too.
The one game you should keep an eye on, Casey, because it always goes on sale, and I'm sure there'll be a Boxing Day sale, is No Man's Sky.
Oh, I've got that.
Oh, do you? I heard that one's pretty good for VR.
Yeah, so again, that's one where I feel like I'd want to get more into it when I've got nothing else going on game-wise, because it is like you can just get lost in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it like playing and jumping in your ship and flying around is so cool. And from like when they first launched it, I guess, you know, it was blurry or didn't look great. Again, I'm new to VR, so I didn't know what it's looked like in the past, but apparently they've been doing patches to make it look even better. So, and yeah, and that game's like almost always on sale, like for 50% off. That's how I got it.
Yeah. And they seem to be really supporting it. Like the devs are all in on it. So it's like growing all the time.
I mean, that makes sense. They've been supporting that game since day one, like massive free expansions, right? So for them to recognize like seeing another platform where they can get people to come in, that makes sense.
Yep. Well, it's probably a good spot to wrap up this episode, Jordan. I know we'll have one more episode for the end of the year, mm-hmm. because we got a December 31st one coming up. So maybe that one will be a wrap up of maybe some of our unspecific thoughts of 2023, some disappointments, some surprises, some other things. So maybe look forward to that. And then, once 2024 is off and running, the big games will just start dropping right away. So
yeah, I want to do
it, baby. It's going to be the best year ever just because of that alone.
I think we need to do some like looking forward to 2024 kind of stuff, like not necessarily predictions, but just like, hey, what do we know that's coming out, and like what are we kind of genuinely excited about? Like, because there are some multi
episode looking ahead to Final Fantasy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
First
that's on the horizon.
Series
for sure.
of thoughts on Rebirth and what we think
a full episode dedicated to what the segue will feel like Rebirth.
No, and then another episode dedicated to how are we going to pronounce Kate Sith or Ketchy? we need a definitive answer on that.
What games will be in the Golden Saucer?
Oh God, I can't. Yeah, or not in the Golden Saucer. I think snowboarding an interesting omission there.
Yeah,
or at least it's taken out of the game. I don't know if it's taken out of Gold Saucer. So we'll see about that. But yeah, the mini games. I can't wait for seeing those. Yeah, but yeah, we'll definitely do another kind of wrap-up episode for sure. But this is the kind of the end of our top 10 games of the year for 2023. Obviously, a banner year for video games for sure. Really fun to kind of go back and think about some of these again, and maybe be reminded of games on the list that our friends and colleagues have enjoyed, but that we didn't get a chance to. So, add more games to the backlist as we always do here. That's kind of our motto, our slogan, something like that. But thanks everybody for joining us on this journey. We'd love to hear about your top games of 2023. You can email david@thethirstymage.com, reach out to us on social media @thethirstymage. I'm @RissMan64. But yeah, how was 2023 to you? What games are you looking forward to getting to at the end of the year here as we get closer to the holidays? We're into December now, which is crazy to think. But yeah, it's definitely been a good one, a good ride, another good year of episodes, more to come, obviously. So yeah, thanks everybody for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week. Bye for now.
Adios.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.